recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Welcome, everybody, to a Perfect 10, a Top 10 edition of AWI Pod. I'm your host, Brent Piles. And with me, as always, is a man. He's from across the ocean and from the future. I'm not going to do the whole intro, but I will do that part of it. At Gia Russell, Glenn Abbott. Glenn, how are you this fine morning?
I'm doing well. This is going to be my last 12 o'clock or 12:30 start, unfortunately. Because we're springing forward on Sunday. So we'll be catching up with you. So we'll be back to 5 and 6 hours in front.
Tragic. Well, speaking of springing forward, here's a man who has sprung forward to be on this podcast this evening. He is Mark Marrero.
Boom, I got you. I got him to pop.
I read it before, but when you read it out loud, you're like, oh my God, that's perfect. How are you doing this evening, Mark Marrero?
Man, I am doing as good as Mark Marrero was when he found out some guy was sleeping with his ex-wife and then he found out who it was. Yeah. And he was like, she's yours, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like when he tells that story. Oh, who is it? I'll tear him limb from limb. It's Brock Lesnar. Oh, well, never mind. Have a good life.
It was nice knowing you.
I was going to say, Mayor, you look like a member of NWA a little bit. You look like Ice Cube. Like you just jumped out of the movie straight out of
We'll go third base. Not too many people probably know third base, but Glenn might.
Mm-hmm. I have no idea what this is.
Third base was a white rap group, three white gentlemen. I think from Boston. Yeah, I believe they did the song Pop Goes the Weasel, and that might be the only song and name of theirs. But
Oh my God, this is an actual thing.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I've blown away with Mark Marrero and with third base. I thought his screen froze, but he's just in shock.
I'm watching this fucking stupid ass music video because I can't believe this is the actual thing. They're in chains and fucking wow.
That's actually the match I want to watch for our WrestleMania. It's the third base music video. No, I'm kidding.
Hey man, I thought you were fucking with me. I really did.
No.
Goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop. If there was ever a white group that would make a rap song, it would be fucking something called that fucking corny shit right there. Pop goes the weasel because the weasel goes pop. Mm-hmm. That is white boy rap music, 100%. Well, I got to put third base on my goddamn fucking playlist now. Thank you.
Yeah, they make vanilla. They make Vanilla Ice sound hood.
Yeah,
and that's hard to do. That is hard to do to make Vanilla Ice sound hood. Pretty good Raw this week, huh, guys?
Thanks. Very good. Probably the best. I think I said it was the best Raw that I've seen in the year that starts with a 2.
Yeah.
Since
the year 2000, it probably was the best Raw I've seen.
Yeah, that's a fair. And I doubt it. Probably 98, maybe one or two. Certainly not many that we've seen so far in 97. Comes anywhere near it.
I know it was way better than anything I watched in 1997.
I don't know that Ahmed Johnson promo.
Oh God!
I was listening to you guys at work. I was I'm sitting there crying. They're like, "You have a phone call." I'm like, "I can't take it right now. Take a message." I'm literally like bawling, crying, laughing so hard. Just take a message. Take a message.
I'm not 100%, but I think I still have the clip on my computer. Let me look. And if I do, we're gonna play it because it's
exciting. Right. Oh.
Something about the end zone and
football. My zone is kind of like an end zone. Once you're in there, you score. Like, what are you talking about?
There's guys scoring in your end zone, Ahmed? What are you doing?
That's what I said. I was like, he's making it sound like Austin raped him. Once you're in there. Yeah, I don't have the clip on here anymore, unfortunately. I think I got rid of it.
I will.
But yeah, I'm going back and listening to Warring Attitude just for the last like few minutes, if you want, because that Ahmed Johnson promo was
something. Killed it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of those things that they're so bad, they're good.
Yeah.
I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? I never heard anything explained like that before. I didn't know if he was, it was, I don't know, it was weird. Anyway, back to this week's Monday Night Raw.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it started off great with the Cody thing, and then The Rock comes out there. And oh my God, how fucking cool was that, the way they shot that? How Cody's standing in the ring, and you're looking at The Rock as he comes out right when that lightning bolt flashes and the spotlight drops, and bam, he's there.
Yep.
And man, that was just so well shot. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, the first that entrance with The Rock, and then the last, what would have it been, 20 minutes of this show looked like it was something from like a Marvel movie, like caliber movie. Like it was cinematic as you can get. Like it looked like a $1 billion production, and they held the one camera shot through the entire thing. It was a nice steady shot. Like it was just beautifully shot in both guys' face, picking up each one's reactions. It was incredible. It might have been one of the best piece of filming maybe ever in wrestling history.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that good.
The whole thing, it just, you know, I suppose it was the perfect storm. They knew Punk was coming. He was in Chicago. They get The Rock out early. Doesn't say a word. Just whispers in Cody's ear. So he's got everybody wound up right from the start. Going, what the fuck did he say?
Yes, and then you had Cody and Seth and Drew just wordsmiths. They were so good together.
Drew McIntyre has been, since he's turned heel, has been so fucking good, and he was so good on Monday night. Maybe this might make me an unpopular person, but I felt like CM Punk said a lot but said nothing.
Oh, yeah.
When he's out there by himself. When the other guys joined him, it got better, but I felt like he said a whole bunch of words but didn't actually say anything.
He was pandering to his hometown. That was basically it. Like, hey, I'm back. I'm CM Punk. I'm getting better. I'm going to be back here for you guys soon. Okay, let's bring out people that are actually having a match.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it was.
Now, what are we going to do with you at WrestleMania?
I guess you're giving the Chicago fans what they want by having him do that. So I guess I understand it. But I think back in the day, I remember he was injured for a time and they put him on commentary and he was great. Mm-hmm. And so I think if they put him on commentary for WrestleMania, as long as he doesn't, you know, use the entire time to put himself over, which he tends to like to do, which is, that's fine. I mean, he's a professional wrestler. They all like to put themselves over, but I think he could be good on commentary. And I think it would be a fun listen if they do get him on commentary. I don't want to see him as a special guest referee. I think it'll just take away from the Drew Seth match if you do that.
That quite often happens, doesn't it, when you know celebrity referees.
Yeah.
Sent away from the people in the ring.
And I especially don't want a special guest referee at a WrestleMania match. If you want to do that on like a Raw or a SmackDown or something, fine, but I don't want to see that on a WrestleMania championship match. I don't want to see a special guest referee. No, thank you.
I might make an exception for this WrestleMania for the night one main event.
Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yeah, that would be the only one that I would make the exception for. I don't think it's needed. It's overkill. But I'd let it go because it's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I think bringing Stone Cold and somehow getting involved with that would be fucking great. I mean, it's WrestleMania 40, The Rock's biggest nemesis ever. I think it would be fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd let that slide.
I'd like to hear that glass break. That'd be great. But I don't want to know it. I want it to be a surprise. You know, right. I want that glass to break and The Rock to just be like, oh, shit.
But then if you're going to do that, at this point, it would make more sense to have Triple H as the special guest ref because he's been more involved with the storyline and he could get away with probably being a referee.
Yeah.
I think his health would probably allow for that. I don't know. I don't know if his health would even allow for that, but
yeah, that's why people were like, he never loses his cool. I said, I don't think he can. I don't think he's allowed to lose his cool.
Mm-mm. That's that. No.
If I had a fucking pacemaker during that North Carolina game last night, I'd have died. I'd be dead today.
Was one of the matches you saw Ricochet against JD McDonagh?
It was, and oh my God, what a match. That was fucking incredible.
That was an amazing match. Especially if you watch bits of it on YouTube where they do the reactions of, what's her name, Samantha Irwin.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that. That would be good to see.
She goes through all the emotions when Ricochet's in the ring. She's taking every bump with him. It's quite funny.
I love her. She's the best. But yeah, no, I did see that in that match. I mean, I saw somebody put this on thread, so I'm not going to take it. I don't remember who it was, but they said that I haven't seen a Ricochet match slap like this in a long time. And I was like, I get what you mean, because when I watched it, because that was really, really good. That move that he did was like the 450 splash, but Madonna was like on his feet when he hit it. That was fucking incredible. I mean, all the great stuff you've ever seen Ricochet do, he can still get in there and still fucking impress the shit out of you, which is pretty impressive.
He makes it look easy. He makes you think you can do what he's doing. He makes it look so easy.
Yeah, him in the ring was like Bo Jackson doing any sport. He just made it look like it was the simplest thing he's ever done. And Ricochet does the same thing. The other match, I think, was the main event. Was it Jey Uso versus Shinsuke Nakamura, I think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it.
There was a, what was it, Candice LeRae? But it was like 30-second match. It got it got rushed pretty fast, but
was it Candice versus Ivy Nile, right?
Ivy Nile.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, I did see that, and you see it didn't even register with me. I forgot all about it.
Yeah, it was very quick, and
they're doing the whole Candice is a bully thing, right?
Yeah. You're
playing off the real life situation with Maxxine Dupri, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you guys saw more of Raw than I did, because you guys watched the actual 3 hours of it. I only watched the hour and 30 minute Hulu version, so I didn't get the full effect, but the 90 minutes I saw was phenomenal.
Yes.
Did you see this new thing that I saw this on the Instagram? Like LA Knight went over to AJ Styles' house and they were like fighting in his front yard, and the cops came and arrested LA Knight.
I don't know why they're doing that again.
See, I've missed most of SmackDowns. I usually go back and watch whatever the Rock and Bloodline thing is, but I've really missed every other SmackDown, usually because we're on here.
I don't even think it was even on either show either. I think they just put it on social media.
No, it was on the show.
Oh, okay.
It was right.
We do this during SmackDown, so I usually don't watch it either. But Glenn did tell me that Logan Paul helped Pretty Deadly beat Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. And I said, God bless Logan Paul. Then I said, I didn't think I'd ever say that.
Man, he's so good. He's so good.
It was excellent.
Logan Paul and Pretty Deadly. It's a match made in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Drinking prime drinks together.
Everybody's handsome. It makes sense. Yeah. But is there anything else from Raw that either one of you guys wanted to mention? We talk about NXT too, because I watched all of NXT. So
just ask how good Raw was. That was all they wanted to say about it.
Now, even though it wasn't part of Raw, they did shoot another like 5 minutes after Raw went off the air. Did you guys see any of that video?
No.
No.
It is incredible. They're like, you know, after the credits go off, the TV's going, and you know, it's showing The Rock standing over top of Cody, and one of the cameramen goes, okay, cut, clear, and The Rock starts going off. You don't tell The Rock to fucking clear. You don't tell The Rock to cut. This isn't the end of this. You think just because you go off the TV, I'm in some script? This isn't a fucking script. This is bullshit. And he goes off on the cameraman and starts beating up Cody more. He was like, you can't tell The Rock to do. And he's beating Cody for another 5 minutes, cussing out the cameraman, grabbing him by the collar. It is incredible. I mean, it's making wrestling so cool and real.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's no, I haven't seen that, but that's fucking great.
Yes.
You guys want to talk about NXT, or you just want to get into this top 10?
Quick chat about NXT.
Quick chat about it.
Dijak and Sean Spears.
It's a good match.
That was vicious.
Yeah, we won't make you comment on that one, Mayor, but I thought it was a pretty good match there.
I honestly missed the entire match. And I've had other people that watch wrestling and tell me how good the match was. And
very physical. Like,
yes. Anything with Dijak, I do like watching. So I'm sad that I missed it, but I think I was doing dishes.
I loved your comment, Brent, on the Fear Hole. Fear How.
The Hole.
That's my next match, where at the end you say, Thea hasn't got any friends.
Well, I said everybody hates her. He's like, she's getting beat up by these two. She fights them off, and then here come two more people that want to beat her up.
But the problem I think is, it highlights the problem on NXT at the moment, is that 9/10 of the women on that show are heels.
Yep.
There's too many heels on there.
They did get old Fallon Henley and
Yeah, because they're about the only other two baby faces on there at the moment that aren't injured.
That's true. Who was with her? It was, Kalani Jordan. That's who it was.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, Fallon Henley was looking good in that bodysuit, wasn't she? Good Lord.
She certainly was.
I keep falling in love over and over again. So, I'll say it every time.
I'm talking about looking good, and I was seething after this that they put Natalya over Lola Vice.
Oh, yeah.
What is she back doing down there again? They don't need her, especially not squashing one of the baby faces.
I don't think Lola's a baby face. I think she's a heel.
She's a heel because she does all that funny wiggling and
wiggling. She wiggles a lot. I don't know how that
makes her a heel, but all right. all that wiggling.
I'll stand all that wiggling.
She likes to wiggle. You're right.
Ilya Dragunov against Stax Channing Lorenzo.
You ready for me? This is going to be my gripe, Glenn. Not the match. The match is fine. I didn't like the whole dumb thing. The Don wants you to meet you at this place. Last time I met you at a place, you put me in a trunk. Why the fuck would I meet you anywhere? Am I fucking stupid? Is Ilya Dragunov a fucking moron?
Well, they're making him out to be, and he certainly isn't.
Yeah, I hate it.
This whole thing is...
Yeah, they should have dropped him off at another like random like dumpster or something just to teach him a lesson again.
Yeah. I mean, because fucking, I was like, are you fucking kidding
me? If you fall for the same thing twice, shame on you.
Yeah, that's it.
That old saying.
The other little thing I've got from it is, was anybody else expecting a payoff on the Ridge Holland announcement?
Yeah, because I was like, there's no way he's retiring.
Yeah, well, it looks like he is because he did it straight and at the end it just walked off.
I was trying to think of who's going to come out there and beat him up. Like, is it going to
be? Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Somebody's going to be
attacking him.
The only thing I could think is if they bring Sheamus down to NXT, if and when Sheamus comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even know what's the deal with Sheamus.
I don't know. I'm assuming he's still under contract and just injured.
If he goes to AEW, what do you think they call him? Amazing Red? No, that's taken.
Jameis.
I like it. When he first came in, I hated the name Sheamus because, like, my grandma had this friend and she had a cat named Sheamus. So that's like when I'm seeing this motherfucker, all I can think about is a cat. And I'm like, why is his name Sheamus? Sorry, Sheamus. I turned out to be wrong. You're great. But at first sight, I was like, man, fuck this guy. It's all fucking neon and shit. Because he's not even white. He's like neon. That's like a different color.
He glows. Yes. Like the moon.
So they used to have these Jack's figures and they had an Undertaker one that glowed in the dark, but when it wasn't glowing in the dark, it looked really fucking weird because it was like a weird tint, and that's right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't anything else from NXT you can remember, Mayor. I think we covered it.
Yeah, you just
I think we covered it all.
The Wolf Dogs against Alpha Academy 2.
Oh yeah, that was good too.
Yeah, two main roster teams
on NXT.
Find it out on NXT.
That part where, like, I think Breaker was up on Otis's shoulders and Tozawa came off the top rope and Breaker countered it into a slam. That was fucking incredible. Yeah,
it was incredible, but I hope he never does that again. I don't want to see Braun Breaker's career end before it gets to the main roster.
Really. Yeah, I mean, I know that the Steiner brothers, I think they did that in the match at one of the Royal Rumbles against the Beverly brothers. I think they did the same thing. Yeah. I think Scott did it. Where he caught one of the Beverly brothers on the tie and flipped over and fucking landed the suplex. I remember being like 6 years old. I think my mind exploded.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was physically possible for any man to do.
It should not be.
No, it really shouldn't. It should not. So yeah, that's it for that. And we're going into WrestleMania, we thought it would be fun for each one of us to make a top 10 list with a couple of honorable mentions from each. And we'll give you our top 10 WrestleMania matches. So I think we'll start with everybody's number 10. And Glenn, we'll let you go first, sir. What's your number 10 WrestleMania match of all time?
My number 10 WrestleMania match of all time is from WrestleMania 3, Ricky Steamboat versus Randy Savage.
Can't see any complaint with that one. I mean, yeah, definitely the best match on the show. I mean, I know a lot of people love Hogan Andre, but I mean, come on.
No, that was definitely the main event as far as that show went.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Mayor. Is yours the same match?
I was pretty close.
I was going to say that. I wouldn't be surprised if that's on everybody's list.
It was actually pretty close. I'll go ahead and skip, make it quick, but I had that at my number 9 match.
Okay.
So my number 10 was Y2J versus HBK at WrestleMania 19. I loved the buildup of it between the two, and when Jericho hit Shawn Michaels' wife in the face for real in the buildup. And then there's just the match was incredible. I mean, between those two guys, I know Jericho's a little bloated these days, but at that time, they might have been two of the best in the ring.
Yeah, I think that was Shawn Michaels' first WrestleMania back after being gone for however long it was, 5-6 years or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, that was a great match. I remember, like, the Royal Rumble before that, Michaels coming in number one and Jericho coming in number two. And they made it look like it was Jericho coming out, but it was really Christian. And fucking Jericho attacked him from behind and, like, beat him mercilessly with a chair and bloodied him up and threw him over the top rope. Yeah, that was some good shit. And then at the end where it looks like they're going to shake hands and hug. And
kicks him in the balls. Yeah. It was one of the best ball shots I've ever seen, too, because it wasn't like, you know, one of these. It was a full punt right to the Jimmy.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, he literally murdered that man's nuts. That's why Shawn Michaels never had any more kids. I'm just kidding. That's not why. I think he did have a daughter after that anyway, so I'm wrong. My number 10 is actually, it's going to be a Hulk Hogan match. I don't know if that'll surprise anybody, but it's Hulk Hogan versus the Macho Man Randy Savage at WrestleMania 5. It is probably my earliest, like, memory of wrestling. And so for that reason, it's always going to make my top 10, because it's like, when you look back at the reason why you still watch wrestling, like, that's the reason why I still watch wrestling, because of watching it that day. Like, I watched it with my brother and his friends, and they were all like 6 years older than me. So they were fucking teasing me the whole time about how, you know, Macho Man's going to win. And I was losing my mind, and then the Hulkster pulled it out. So that's my number 10. Glenn, you're back to number 9.
CM Punk versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 29. I believe this was especially, you know, not only part of the streak, but also Punk was on his way out at that time.
Well, it was his last WrestleMania, yeah.
WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Paul Bearer passed away during the build to this, and they kind of built on that too. I know a lot of people thought that maybe that was in poor taste, but I think anybody that you talked to that knew Paul Bearer would have loved the fact that he was still involved in the storyline after he was gone. So, yeah.
That was it. You had the build up to it with the Undertaker in the middle of the ring and Paul Bearer coming up on the Titantron and everything, and then Punk coming out and dissing him.
I remember they had they had Paul Heyman, and he was like dressed up as Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, he's got that urn, and he's, like, throwing it at the Undertaker, and he's, like, fucking licking the urn stuff off his fingers. Fuck, yeah, man. It's sometimes you say a match, and, like, I don't know why, but I didn't even think of that one. But that's a great fucking match. The mayor already said his number 9 was Steamboat and Savage. So anything you wanted to say about that match? I mean, it was...
You just say it's ahead of its time. I mean, I'm sure there probably was, you know, Tiger Mask and Dynamite. I mean, stuff like that maybe was like a couple years ahead of that. But just the very fast pace, almost false finish, lots of kickouts, lots of trying to secure a win, showing how important it is to try to, you know, just get the win, to win the belt and move on. Like, It built the importance of the match and how serious they took the belt, basically, or whatever you want to call it now, championship title.
Hey, I don't know. You call it a belt. You can call it a belt if you want to.
But yeah, it was just a very physical, fast-paced match. It was ahead of its time.
Yeah, no, can't argue with that. This match, number 9, me and Glenn just talked about this match with Kyle when we did a WrestleMania 8 review. And it is Roddy Roddy Piper versus Bret Hart Intercontinental Championship match from WrestleMania 8. I mean, great storytelling in this match. They do a great promo before the match. Listen to that WrestleMania 8 review. I gush all about it. If you want to hear, it's just a great match. And like, if you've never watched that match, I go see it because you need to watch it because the psychology in that match is, it's great.
You just saved me one of my honorable mentions there.
Was that? So I had that in my honorable mentions. And then when I watched it again, I moved it out of the honorable mentions and into the top 10 because it's just such a good match. We'll let the mayor go with his number 8 choice. What do you got for number 8?
Okay. I have number 8, Charlotte versus Rhea. At WrestleMania 39, not the empty arena one, but the full blown, you know, redo.
Yeah,
that match. I know Rhea's theme song is something about brutality. That match was brutality. They beat the hell out of each other. It was incredible. Just, it was one of the stiffest, best realistic women's matches I may have ever. It probably might be my favorite woman's match of all time, honestly.
It's definitely in my top 5 too. It was a fucking really great match. I would venture to say that of all the matches that took place on both nights of WrestleMania 39, I thought that was the best match on the whole show. I thought it was better than the tag team match. Not that the tag team match was bad. I thought it was better than Roman and Cody. Not that that match was bad, but
And it also has set, you know, Rhea off in that trajectory where she's still going.
Yeah. I mean, she's still the champion, you know, a year later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my number 8 is this match is just based on crowd reaction alone. It is another Hulk Hogan match. Hulk Hogan versus The Rock from WrestleMania 18. I was a big Hulk Hogan fan in the 80s, you know, the early 90s. I was going to say the 80s, but I was only around for 6 years in the 80s. So I guess the 80s and the early 90s, and a huge Rock fan from whenever he became a good guy up until whenever. So really a dream match for any wrestling fan, you know, from my era. So you got to put that in there for me. So The Rock versus Hulk Hogan. Basically, I mean, if you watch that on mute, I think I've heard John Cena say this, you're going to be like, this is the worst match ever. But listen to it. Listen to it with the fans, and you're like, this is amazing. So it's one of those instances, like, they talk about this on UTT because they kind of rate, like, what you like best. And I think we should do that sometime, too, because I think that's a really cool way that they do it. And, like, crowd reaction is usually pretty low on people's lists, and it really is for me because even if the crowd, like, wasn't cheering for a great match, I would still think it was good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But a crowd can really push a match up, too, in this scenario. So what about you, Glenn? Number 8.
Number 8. Again, this is down to the crowd thing. Daniel Bryan versus Kofi Kingston and Kofi Mania.
Yes.
And the whole thing, you know, of is he going to do it, isn't he? And then against Daniel Bryan, of all people, as well. That was a special night. That was a special occasion, that was.
Yes, Glenn, that is also on my list. It is number 5. If we're talking about we're talking about favorite matches here. If we're talking about favorite moments, Kofi Mania is my number one favorite WrestleMania moment ever. I don't know if anything will ever top it. At least I can't think of anything that will. So yeah, really great stuff. And the fact that Daniel Bryan got to do that, when you talk about what Daniel Bryan did at WrestleMania 30 and Kofi kind of doing that same sort of thing as overcoming the odds.
But yeah,
great stuff right there. Mayor, number 8. Yes.
I did number 8. I did 8 already. So my number 7 is it was the first, trying to think back, the first WrestleMania match between these two, I believe, Undertaker versus Shawn at WrestleMania 25.
Mm-hmm.
I think they rematched at WrestleMania 26. That was the retirement match.
Correct.
But I think the WrestleMania 25 match was even better, and I love the buildup of it. And you had Shawn in all white, Undertaker in all black. It was incredible build. Just the dichotomy, the antithesis between the two. Yes. Where Shawn's supposed to be this, I don't know, anyone that would knew him in the 90s would say he's the the statue of virtue here, but yeah, that's what he was like put up as in it. You know, he was the virtuous, God-loving man versus the dead man. It was incredible. And then the match itself was just like, I mean, I hate using like a Meltzer star rating, but if I was rating it, it's at least a 5-star match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So
I can't. I mean, that's on my list. I don't want to say what number is because it's really high. So I don't want to say it just yet.
To be fair, I've only got it as an honorable mention, 25.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It was a toss-up between that and another match that I've got a bit higher on my list. And I thought, I've got enough Undertaker stuff on here. So I'll go with the other classic match as my number two. But we'll get to that when we get there.
That's fair. That's fair. My number seven is from WrestleMania 10. It is the first ever ladder match that I ever saw. Shawn Michaels versus Razor Ramon. Ladder match, WrestleMania 10. I was 10 years old, and there was two guys beating each other with a ladder and slamming each other on a ladder and slamming each other off a ladder. And it was the coolest fucking thing I'd ever seen. And I was literally obsessed with ladder matches for much of my childhood because of that one match. So, yeah. The WrestleMania 10 ladder match, number seven. Yeah,
kicked off ladder matches before any others.
Yeah. And just as a kid, those were probably, like, at that time, the two coolest guys in wrestling. Okay. Like, if you just had to call, like, cool guys, like, those are the two coolest guys in wrestling at the 100%.
Time. Yeah. They got the best hair.
Yeah. That was my number 11, by the way. That was my honorable mention that just missed my top 10.
I started to think maybe I put too much Shawn Michaels in here, and I said, fuck that, this is my top 10. And so I kept going.
There's Glenn, a lot of Shawn Michaels.
We're at number six, right? Did you do your seven yet?
9, 8. No, I've still got me seven.
Okay.
10, 9, 8. Yeah, I've got me seven to do.
Forgive me, people.
I'm going to say here is, sorry, I love you. WrestleMania 24, Ric Flair's one of his retirement matches.
Yeah.
Against Shawn Michaels. What a moment that was in WrestleMania history.
I can't argue with that.
I watched it a few months ago. Probably up to the build up to the last WrestleMania. And I was actually had remembered how good the match was because of just that last moment. And the match is a lot better than people give it credit for.
I thought it was a really kind of turned back the hands of time, really, because you all see, I mean, Ric Flair came off the top rope with a fucking cross body block during this thing. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think it does get, you know, the jokes about the I'm sorry, I love you thing kind of overplays. It wouldn't make my top 10, but I get why someone would put it in their top 10. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If I was making a top 25 list, I think it would be included just because of the emotions of the moment of that. Away the fact that Ric Flair is going to go on to disgrace himself and be embarrassing in the ring for many years to come afterwards. And if he would have just ended it that night, it would have been great for him. But it's a good match. So we're back to number six. I'm actually right. It's number six. I'll go first. It's Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair at WrestleMania 38. Just kind of like what the mayor said about the Charlotte Rhea match. It's the same way I feel about this match. I mean, it was physical, a good match from beginning to end. The whole entire story of Becky coming back and beating Bianca in like 20 seconds at SummerSlam, and then Bianca having to fight our way all the way back to WrestleMania to win her belt back. And like how mad people were when that first happened, and then to see the finished product of how Bianca got back. And I think that got her way more over than she ever was. And it was just an amazing match between probably two of my favorite, not just women wrestlers, but competitors of all time. So I'm going with that one. Unfortunately, that's the only women's match that made my list. I'm hoping in years to come that we're going to be adding more women's matches to our top 10 list. And I believe that we will. Yeah, it's only getting better and better. Every year, the matches are just getting better and better.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mayor. Who's number six?
Well, did you already do your number six, Glenn?
No, I haven't done mine yet.
Okay. No, my number six was the same as your number seven then. I had HBK and Flair.
Okay.
At the retirement match. So I know we spoke a lot about it, but I do want to just add that I think I heard Ric Flair say it was the very first match that he ever let someone else call the match. where they called it in the ring, and he wasn't the one calling it in the ring, and he gave the honor to HBK to do that, and he followed everything that HBK said and just let him call the entire match. So
excellent. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's awesome. Yeah, I didn't know that, but that is cool.
And to this day, Ric Flair still wears a Rolex with the number 24 at the top marker, and Shawn Michaels gave him that Rolex for that match, and he still wears that exact same Rolex. If you ever see his wrist, it's always the Rolex with the number 24 at the top.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Number six, Glenn.
Undertaker, Triple H at 28.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. One of the better Hell in a Cell matches.
How many WrestleMania Hell in a Cell matches they had? Three?
It's three.
Oh, wait, we're forgetting about one that's really bad, and we're trying to forget about it.
Was that the Fiend one?
No, the Boss Man versus the Undertaker WrestleMania 15, where they hung him afterward.
That's right.
Yeah, if these were the worst WrestleMania matches, that would be on my list for that one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Let's do that next week.
Yeah. Where he was hung by his vest.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
But yeah, but Bond to the good Hell in a Cell match. Yeah, I mean, the storytelling in that was great. They even added Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee, which I thought added another layer.
They did. All three of them going up the ramp at the end, all in a heap.
Yeah, they all look like they got hit by a car. Yeah. You're not lying.
Yeah, it was just so good. So good.
Yeah, so my number five, as we already talked about, was Kofi and Daniel Bryan. Mayor, who you got at number five?
Number five, I think I've had HBK in almost every single one of my matches so far. And I'm going to keep that going. It's another HBK match, and this is probably two of my three favorite wrestlers of all time. It is HBK versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 21.
Mm.
An absolute clinic of a match. The buildup was fun. Bringing back Sensational Sherry, and man, just the two of those guys in the ring was magic. They're so good, even at Shawn's older, I don't want to call him older because I don't even know how old he would have been there, probably like 37, 38.
Something like that, probably.
Yeah, so it's sad to call him older there because I'm well older than that, but
same,
you know, he was, they were so good together. Just a great match.
You're just a sexy Kurt, sexy Kurt. Yes. He'll make your ankle hurt. That was so. Yes.
Yeah, you got that. I mean, it was so much fun, and then the match itself was just as good of a match as you could have. Basically, I mean, incredible.
I have that as my number three, and one of my favorite parts is how long Shawn Michaels is in the ankle lock for at the end of it. He is in the ankle lock for a long time, and I always like to hear like the backstage thing about it because they wanted Shawn Michaels to go over, but Shawn's like, no, just put Kurt over, and that's just like so. Like in WrestleMania 14, Shawn Michaels wasn't going to say, just put this guy over instead of me, but WrestleMania 21, Shawn Michaels was happy to put Kurt Angle over. So yeah, that's an incredible match. It's a timeless match. That match would hold up on any wrestling card, on any show, in any age of any era. It's a fucking great match. Glenn, who you got that number five?
The Rock versus Steve Austin.
Which this one?
number 17.
Okay.
Okay. That was the last. Was that their last one together?
Second.
The middle one. That was the middle one. It was 15, yeah. 17, 19?
Yep. Yeah. And it's probably the best of the three.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one, Glenn.
All
right. The only reason I'm going to disagree with you on that one is because I don't like the finish of it. This is the only, if it didn't have that finish, it's probably the greatest WrestleMania
match. That's where Austin turns.
Yeah, that finish put a bad taste in my mouth. That's the only reason why it is. I didn't put it on my top 10 list, but I do have Rock versus Austin at 19 on my honorable mentions. That's my favorite Rock and Steve Austin match. I know I'm probably in the minority on that, but I like Hollywood Rock. Hollywood Rock's my shit. So yeah. Hollywood Rock, I'm all for it. So I'm that's why I like
this. This is just one I remember a few of us getting together and chipping in and getting the pay-per-view and watching it and just so enthralled by it.
I mean, I think that's the great, the best WrestleMania ever was WrestleMania 17.
It was that the my way or the highway?
Yeah, one? That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the Astrodome.
Yeah.
I mean, it had TLC 2. It had Triple H versus The Undertaker the first time. There was Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit. I know, Chris Benoit is not somebody that people like to watch anymore, but that was a great match. Mm-hmm. They even had a hardcore match. It was between Kane, The Big Show, and Raven, and they fought all over that fucking place, and it was amazing. I love that match. It's awesome.
Yes. Was it which one of them? Kane, I think, got locked in a room and walked through the door.
Yeah, he just, like a golf cart. There was all kinds of shit going on.
Yeah.
So we're up to number... Did everybody say that number five?
Yep.
Yep.
We're to number four. Number four for me, I kind of had to go like a toss-up on WrestleMania 30 matches. Because I love both the matches that Daniel Bryan's in, but I didn't feel like I could put both of them in this this top 10. So I'm going to go with the first match that he had, the Triple H versus Daniel Bryan match at WrestleMania 30. I don't really think that Triple H had a lot of really good matches after this one, and this was like his last really great match, at least for me. And the whole story about Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania 30 is, I mean, there's nothing more I can say about that. It's probably one of the best stories that WWE has ever told. I think it's in the top five. For me, it's in the top two, but it's just really good shit. And that match was really great. Even the triple threat match was good too, but I just like the Triple H much better.
And people still haven't learned that WWE will manipulate you like that. That there is a plan in motion for these sort of things. Even if you can't see it.
Yeah. Although I think that one, I think it was literally like,
we have to
do it because he's so over. Like, we don't want to, but we ain't got no fucking choice. Because they booed Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio came out number 30 at the Royal Rumble, and they booed him because he wasn't Daniel Bryan. Rey Mysterio. when have you ever heard Rey Mysterio booed? So that's my... Number four. Glenn, who you got at number four?
I've got brother versus brother. WrestleMania 10, Bret versus Owen.
I thought you were going Kane Undertaker for sure. I thought you were saying Kane Undertaker when you said brother versus brother. Shoot brother versus brother.
Shoot brother versus shoot brother, at number 10, it was just a wrestling masterclass. As you would expect from those two.
Yeah, two of the greatest technical wrestlers of all time. Yeah. And they're brothers, so. Yeah. I don't know how I didn't put that in my top 10, honestly. Like, see, you say matches, and I'm like, fuck, how did I forget that one?
Yeah, well, you've done it with Daniel Bryan there. With me.
Oh, did I? See, it happens. There's just been so many good matches. It's hard to get it into just 12 matches. Like, you could pick 20 easy, you know?
That's it.
All right, are we... Mayor, you're up.
This is number four. Number four. I'll keep on the Bret Hart path. Yeah. And this is versus a gentleman named Steve Austin at WrestleMania 13. 12?
No. I'm saying I'll get it at number two.
I was like, I swear it was WrestleMania 13. That's ironic,
Glenn, because guess where I've got it? Right there, smack dab at number two.
Yeah, I mean, it just... It's the match to me that made Austin, and he kind of went on to be like the biggest star in wrestling history. So,
yeah.
And it was just a beautifully done match that they've tried to redo many times with the same finish, and it just never has worked.
No.
After that.
Yeah. I mean, that whole fucking thing is great. I mean, we could sit here and talk probably for an hour about how great that match is. I think. Yeah. Me and Glenn just watched it for the Warring the Attitude, and we reviewed it. And wow, it's one of those matches where every time you watch it, you're going to pick out something that you didn't see the other 15 times that you've watched it and go, wow, Bret Hart is just, man, I could watch. If you just made me a tape of 24 hours Bret Hart matches, I could probably fucking just sit and watch it. I'd probably just sit and watch it all day, and I'd probably never get bored.
If they gaffer taped his mouth and just let him wrestle,
yeah,
he would be definitely the best there is, and the best there will be. It's when he opens his mouth that lets him down.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, that's number two for me, number two for Glenn. I think Shamrock really added something to the match, too, him being the special guest referee. I was just shitting on special guest referees a minute ago.
Yeah, but he did such a good job of it, didn't he, though?
And he made him, he's a big guy and he's Ken Shamrock, but he also made himself invisible. Like, you weren't in fixated on him being the referee, but he also did enough in it to where I think he enhanced parts of the match too.
And it also kind of ended in an MMA style finish. I mean, it wasn't just like ground and pound punches, but it was, if it was just a regular referee that might not have been in that scenario to call a match when it should end in that manner.
Right.
Like I thought that added to it with him there, not to mention he's just at the time the world's most dangerous man.
Yeah, he looked really great in that extra medium reference he got on too. He's about to bust out of that thing.
It always makes me laugh every time we see him. He's in a pink silk dressing gown or something, and they're calling him the world's most dangerous man.
It makes you think about who you want to make fun of, right?
Oh yeah.
This guy used to come into this place I used to work at, and he looked like a goofy old white dude, but it turned out he was like a fucking black belt in jiu-jitsu. I was like, that guy would fucking murder me, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, exactly.
He could have choked me out in 3 seconds, and I thought I could take him easily. Yeah. Boy, what have I been wrong? He's that one guy you don't want to try to rob. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My number three, we talked about already. It's Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels. What you got at number three, Glenn?
Well, you actually mentioned it already. At 17, the Dudleys versus Edge, Christian, and the Hardys. In the TLC match.
Can't argue with that.
No. Again, this is another one I can remember sitting, having had a few beers, and going, holy shit. What am I watching?
Yeah, that was definitely like some car crash shit right there. It was like nothing I'd ever seen before. Yeah, no. I mean, they had had, you know, ladder matches and TLC matches before, but that was on a whole nother level.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, definitely on a whole nother level. So, well, you revealed our number twos already, Mayor. So who do you have at number two?
Wait, I never got to do my number three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go number three. I'm sorry. I get so lost.
It's okay. My number three has already been said by Glenn. I forget where he had it. Maybe number eight. It's Rock versus Hogan in Toronto.
I had it at eight.
WrestleMania 18. So
I haven't got any Hogan matches on mine.
I made up for it, Glenn. I've got plenty. But yeah, Rock versus Hogan. It's already been said enough about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can talk about the ending too, about him, you know, turning back babyface basically at the end, where, you know, he shakes the Rock's hand, and then the NWO kind of comes out and they're mad at him because they shook his hand. Which even as I was 17 or something like that, and I thought that was silly. I was like, oh, they're mad because he shook his hand.
Yeah.
Wow. But then yeah, the Rock does the whole, yeah, it was a really great match, really great moment. I'm gonna let Mayor tell us his number two then. You get to go back to back, buddy.
Okay, my number two, I'm keeping with Hogan. This obviously isn't the greatest match in the world, but Hogan versus Andre at WrestleMania 3,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of the... It's the match that I think made Hogan mainstream famous and started Hulkamania. I mean, without it, I don't know how well the WWF would have been doing. The build, everyone talking about it. I remember the next day at school where I don't even know if you could even watch it on pay-per-view at the time, or if it was just you had to go to the bar. Because I think you could,
but it was like a very select amount of people who were able to order them at that point. It wasn't a lot.
Yeah, because I remember a few kids talking about it, and I never even got to see it. So I'm waiting for like the VHS cassette to come out at the local, it was a video stop. It was even pre-Blockbuster or any major chains, just mom and pop video shop. and just going and checking every week to see if they got it in so we could watch the match. And oh man, it was so memorable. Like, it was just childhood memory. So was it the greatest match? No, but it's what set me on my way of talking about wrestling today.
And that, I mean, that's why I put, you know, the Macho Man Hogan match on mine, is because, like, what got you into wrestling? I mean, that should be on your WrestleMania top 10 list, right? Yeah, so no, I'd get it. And like, I'm a little younger than you, so in 1987, I was like 2, so I didn't see that. So I like, but I can imagine if I was of age to see it, that probably would have the same impact on me, and it would probably be a lot higher on my list too. Because you can say that the work rate or whatever, but the crowd reaction and just the moment, I like to say that that match is negative stars, I think, is a bit ridiculous.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a bit ridiculous. We're at number one. Number one, Glenn, who you got? Who's number one? I know it's The Undertaker. Who's he facing?
Shawn Michaels at 26.
Oh, you like 26 better, huh?
Normally, sequels aren't as good as the originals, but I think this one was better. Don't get me wrong, 25 is an amazing match. But this one with Shawn putting it, I actually thought The Undertaker was going to lose a streak on this one. I didn't think that they'd have Shawn retiring.
I wanted to put both of them on my list, but then I felt it would be a bit redundant to have one them just back to back. So I didn't. So I had to choose 25.
Yeah.
Honestly, it probably would be. They'd both be around that same exact range for me, where they'd both be like 6 and 7 or so. But I couldn't put both of them in.
I was in the same boat as you. I was there. I was at WrestleMania 26, so I was there live. I remember walking through. We were at WrestleMania Access, which is a waste of money. Don't ever go to that. it was a bunch of bullshit. But I remember a kid holding a sign that said, you know, RIP Undertaker streak, and it was like 16-1 or something like that at that point. And I remember him, like, he was like a young kid. He was probably like 20. I say young kid. I was in my 20s, so he was like my age. And this was like an older man. He was probably in like his 50s. And he's holding the sign, and he's like, yeah, The Undertaker's going down tomorrow. And the guy, the older dude's like, yeah, right, no way The Undertaker's going to lose. He's like, oh, you must have just started watching wrestling yesterday, sir. And the old man's like, I was watching wrestling before you were born. And so I remember that. And yeah, I wanted to put them both on there too. But like you, I was like, I don't think I can put them both. I got to just do one or the other.
Yeah, well, that was mine as well. I wanted to do both, but you know, a very big special mention to 25. But 26 is the one for me. Just because it was streak versus
career.
Yeah.
So we already talked about it. We talked about it before, but my number one is Shawn Michaels, Undertaker, WrestleMania 25. I mean, all the false finishes and everything. The one where the Undertaker, I think, hits a tombstone and Michaels kicks out, and Undertaker's just kind of laying on him like, what the hell do I have to do to beat this guy? That's just an amazing match, and that's one of those ones where I could watch 100 times and I would never get sick of it. We will let the mayor give us his number one last, and I have a feeling I already know what it's going to be.
How many people do you think watch SmackDown a week? About 4 million, somewhere in there. 3.5 million,
probably like 2.5, 3.
Okay, well, we'll just round it up to 3.
Yeah.
If you pulled all 3 million people that watch SmackDown this week, not one person is going to give you this answer. But it is the match that got me into professional wrestling. It's the first match I ever saw as a little young mare. And it's what got me into wrestling. If there's a blue cage involved, you're pointing right at it there. It's WrestleMania 2, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy. Yes, no one's ever going to say it's a great match, but it's what got me into wrestling. It's what makes me still love wrestling. It's probably why I love certain parts of wrestling more than other parts of wrestling at times. The showmanship, the crowd just getting into it and making you forget and suspend disbelief that this isn't all just some sham. Like, the crowd was so into Hulk Hogan at that match. I think it was even more so than like WrestleMania 3 when he comes out just chewing on the bandana,
Yeah.
And everyone in the crowd is just so into it. Like I had no idea what I was watching. I'm like, what is this? You know? And
yeah,
it's as what, how old have I been? Maybe four. I think I was four when it came out. And I saw it. And man, it's still to this day. When I met Hulk Hogan, I told him that that was my favorite match of all time, and he looked baffled.
I remember that before, brother.
I said, you probably don't ever hear this, but your match at WrestleMania 2 was my favorite match of all time, and you know, it's what got me into wrestling. And you stop, he's kind of, you know, doing the chin rub thing, and he's like, you know, I talked about King Kong Bundy for a little bit, said how good of a man he was, and because I was the very first person in line to get Hulk Hogan's autograph at
Iowa
Center. And they did let, I think, I don't know if it was like a Make-A-Wish kid or something, but someone in front of me before I got to talk to him. But while we were standing there before the line even finished, he was out talking to me, and Jimmy was out there. Jimmy Hart was out there talking to me. And it was just so cool. But yeah, that's what got me into wrestling. Every now and again, I go back and watch it, and I still get like emotional just seeing it.
Yeah, who could absolutely love an orange racist against a giant thing?
That's great, Glenn. That is great. So yeah, I mean, I think you've told me that before, and that's why I remember. How old were you when you met Hulk Hogan? Have you met him more than once?
No, met him one time.
How old were you?
I
assume you were older, right?
36.
Okay. I didn't think you were like 14. I figured.
No. I mean, I saw him up close because we had good seats a couple times, and like he's walking by and at the Canton Civic Center.
And he used to live across the street from you, of course.
Yes. I don't know if Glenn had ever heard that. Did I tell you guys that story? I know I told you.
You told us the story. Yeah. And Glenn's been listening to this podcast for 10 years. So he
I couldn't remember if I told Glenn, but yeah, my dad used to taunt me that Hulk Hogan lived across the street from me, and they would use that against me to, you know, do chores, get good grades, do physical activity, basically anything he wanted me to do. That's awesome. Hulk Hogan's across the street. I think I saw him. He came back for a couple of days. I missed him again. Yeah, you missed him again. God dang it. You know.
Yeah, I've been listening to a work in progress as long as Brent's been talking into the microphone.
Yep, and then he started talking into it with me. That's how both of you got here, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. Yeah.
You never know where life's going to take you. Does anybody else have any honorable mentions they wanted to throw in? I got one. Anybody else?
I think we covered all of them but one of my honorable mentions. So you want me to do mine real quick?
Go ahead.
It's another Hulk Hogan one. It's another guy that we probably don't talk about anymore. Vince McMahon, WrestleMania 19.
I love that match. I do. Yeah.
Match.
It was such a good match. The bumps that Vince took, you're like, there's no way this man should be taking these. And he went all out. If you ever question where Shane got his balls from, as in no fear, it's Vince. Mm-hmm. Vince and Hogan, the buildup of that over, I mean, how many years would it have been? 22 years? 23 years?
As long as a lot of people
and
have been alive.
Everyone's been wanting to see that match. It finally came to fruition, and it didn't let down. For two guys that should not be putting on that great of a match at either of their ages, it was phenomenal.
I always say people always say that Vince's best match was with, and I feel terrible about talking with about Vince, but I'm sorry. It's right. It's WrestleMania, and so there's no way to get around it. People have said the Shawn Michaels one is the best, but I've always maintained that it's the Hulk Hogan Vince one. I love that match too. I think it's Vince's best match ever. I don't think he's had a better match than that one. The storytelling in it, like you said, the bumps, Rowdy Piper fucking shows up with a lead pipe. It was, if you watched wrestling in the 80s, how would you not have popped for that? It was fucking great. I loved it.
Yeah. That was my number 12 on my list, by the way.
You got any honorable mentions, Glenn, or you get them all out?
No, I've got them all out. I'm done.
My last one is Shawn Michaels versus John Cena at WrestleMania 23. Of course, I had to be another Shawn Michaels match. And like, I love John Cena, but I don't feel like John hasn't had like a whole lot of classic matches at WrestleMania. He's had a lot of classic matches, but not a lot of them at WrestleMania. And because I'm such a big John Cena fan, I felt like I had to at least get one John Cena match on there. And I do think that's a great match. It's a really good match. But I had to get one John Cena match on my list. I'm trying to think, like, of what other John Cena match at WrestleMania is really good. And I really can't even.
Far Five Funhouse.
Well, it depends on what you're into, but yeah. Because I'm trying to, so like he had the match with the Big Show, JBL, he had a Triple H, there was, he had a triple threat match. And see, he just didn't have a lot of, no. I remember he had one against the Big Show, Edge, and it was like for the World Heavyweight Championship, and he had like 50 John Cena, like 500 John Cena come out. And I was like, what the fuck is that about? It's so weird. But yeah, so yeah, that's my last one. So there you have it. That's our list. That's our top 10 list of WrestleMania matches. Now it's time for the plugs. Glenn, who are you going to plug before we got to say goodnight?
I'm booking the territory, the first and last of wrestling with Danny and Rob. There's little side projects, a gate of golf, being the elite tournament. They're doing all sorts of things. I think Uno was this week's.
Yeah, it was Uno, yeah.
Of course, there's the
Doctor Who podcast with Danny Inside. That's on SJP World Media.
And DC and Doc bring you DDT Wrestling Weekly. And that's my lot.
Where there's sometimes DDTs and there's also sometimes wrestling. Mayor, Marco Mayor, I'm sorry.
Mark Marrow.
Mark Marrow. I'm sorry.
The wild man here.
Sorry. He's... Are you the wild man or are you the boxing TKO giving Mark Marrow?
Well, did he have another name during that or was he just Mark Marrow?
He was still Mark Marrow, but they quit calling him the wild man. He came out like boxing robe and did a finishing move.
I remember him. I just didn't remember if they still were calling him wild man. Well, I want to give a plug to the wild man. Thomas Bryce, sometimes he Johnny B. Bads and does all the good stuff. And what's that? What was his Botmaster finisher? Anyway, Thomas Bryce 2017. Give him a follow and follow along at Sportswire Radio. At the website is sportswireradio.org. If you're watching along, you can see it right above Glenn's left shoulder there.
Yes, sir.
And yeah, we always like to give a shout out to Mr. Thomas Bryce, as we are members of the Hall of Fame for Sportswire Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in many Hall of Fames, but only my own. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. I'm only in one
Hall of Fame. I like to say I'm in the Rock Skipping Hall of Fame, as I once skipped a rock 7 times.
Was there anybody there to witness it?
No.
Didn't happen. I'm just
kidding. I would have said 8 if I was really lying.
Okay, you should have at least said 20 if nobody was there. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Were you done? No, you're not done. Keep going.
Am I? I'm not done.
No, you're not done. You go.
Oh, yeah, I got to talk about myself. Yeah, follow me along on the Twitter app, Mayor of Canton, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can see me eat stuff, rate it, tell you whether it's good or not, whether you should try it. Or if not, or you should not try it. Or sometimes you just watch me rant about something that pissed me off and I didn't even really eat the food. Sometimes that happens too.
My favorite. So you ate those like Little Caesars things, right? And the ones you got did not look good. But the ones in the commercial look good as fuck. So I understand why you would try them.
What's funny is I've seen a lot of people that do like food reviews rated them really high. Like they loved them.
Really?
I hated them.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't say I hated them, but I didn't think they were like, you know, the world's greatest thing. I wouldn't get them again ever.
Yeah, maybe they just got it from. I believe that there's good places to get the shit, and then you get it from a bad place, and then that's like some McDonald's are better than other McDonald's, and I won't hear anything otherwise.
Yeah, I feel like didn't you say you also didn't like? Was it you that said you didn't like Freddy's?
Yeah, no, I did not like Freddy's,
and I love Freddy's burgers. But yeah. Some restaurants, just the quality is different from restaurant to restaurant, even though it's the same chain.
Yeah, I guess that's just the way it goes. But yeah, make sure you check out Warring Attitude. Me and Glenn are almost done with the year 1997. I think we have one more week of Raw before we get to the infamous Survivor Series 1997. I don't know if you remember Did anything happen at Survivor Series 1997? Anything memorable? I can't think of anything.
Ahmed Johnson cut a promo.
Hopefully somebody didn't score in his end zone.
Yeah. I think his end was zoning that pretty quickly after this. But yeah, something happened. Something happened Survivor Series, right?
No, not something. But I can't quite remember. We'll see. We'll watch it. We'll find out. Maybe something will happen. Maybe not.
I'm memorable.
Tune in.
Tune in to find out. Same time, same channel. Well, it might not be. I'll put it out when I feel like it. And of course, I don't know shit. The Life and Times of Psycho said the 27th episode's right now. And he faces Dr. Death Steve Williams at the Blackjack Brawl for the UWF. And I know that sounds awesome, but it's not. It is the worst match I've ever seen Sid have. And as our buddy Dan Griffin said, that's fucking saying something.
It is too bad for even this show.
Yeah, it's one of those matches, Mayor, where it's so bad that we would have just started talking about, like, music or food we liked or something that happened during a football match or something shit like that. We would have not even paid attention to the match. That's how bad it was. Glenn's like, we need the mayor here with us for this one.
We start rating our favorite Dairy Queen Blizzard flavors.
Yeah.
What's the best hot dog condiment?
That one I could partake in, but don't let me talk about the ice cream. Actually, I used to love Dairy Queen ice cream back when I could eat it. I just can't anymore. But that's it. That's all. And we will talk to you guys down the road. And now we're going to have Glenn say goodbye.
Goodbye.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.